Good morning, church. Good to see you this morning. Just a couple things to break you up to date on some stuff. They're going to be packing everything for the hurricane victims, Florence, tomorrow morning. So if you want to bring some stuff in, you can do that to come and help. Also, remember your card, drop it on, you know, share it with someone. And I asked you last week to do something, and that was to pray 5 minutes a day. And you know what I realized? I need to make it easier for us. Let's do the book of Proverbs together. If you'll start on start reading this afternoon and on chapter 7. We're going to read one a day for 31 days, and that just kind of helps us, you know, work into that. Today, I want to talk about prayer and a beginner's guide to prayer, if you will. If you Google prayer, you'd find probably millions of articles on prayer. But let me share three things about prayer real quick for us to kind of get us started. God wired humans to pray. Everybody prays. Some pray more often than others. Everybody prays to God or something or someone. Even an atheist in a bad time will say, "Oh God." That's a prayer, isn't it? But we all pray. We're just wired that way. We were wired to think beyond the earthly things. In Ecclesiastes, God has planted eternity in the human heart. We have eternal perspective. And prayer, we're not real good at it at times. Sometimes we think, I can't pray because I don't know what to say to God. I just don't know how to address Him. I don't know what He wants to hear. And, you know, the kiss of death would be on Sunday morning at the end of the service for the pastor to say to you, "Will you pray, close this?" I remember growing up in church in which that was a pretty typical thing would happen. And I'll never forget, it was a Sunday evening, and they had a visitor there, and the minister looked at the visitor and said, "Would you pray?" and called him by name. He froze. The man never came back. I could understand that a little bit. And that's the reason I'll never call on you to pray out loud unless you know something. The Apostle Paul said, you know, I'm not good at it. In Romans 8, he says, we do not know how to pray as we should. Jesus' disciples, after Jesus prayed, you know what they said to Jesus? Lord, teach us to pray such as John also taught his disciples. Prayer sometimes frustrates us because we have some misconceptions about it. Prayer is not a magic wand. And many times we think it is. All I have to do is just throw it out there to God one time. He's going to take the magic wand, hocus pocus, and I get whatever I'm asking for. It's not going to be like that. That's not what it is. It's not a fire extinguisher. Now, as you go out most public buildings, you'll see a box sitting on the wall, and it has a glass that says, in case of emergency, break and use. That's not prayer, guys. Have you ever had anybody say, well, there's nothing else we can do, so we'll just have to pray? I don't think God likes that. It may be the truth, but I don't think God likes that at all. It's not a fire extinguisher. Now, I know the good folks in the Carolinas that really suffered when they understood that the hurricane was coming. For those who hadn't prayed, they began to pray. God, don't let the water get my house. Don't let it get me. We saw danger out there. That's not what prayer's for. It's not a tug of war with God. I'll wear God down. I'll just say the same thing over and over again, and I'll beg Him and plead and badger Him and say, God, if you're God, you'll do this. If you don't do it, I know you're not God. That's Satan talking, guys. But he says, that's not what prayer is. It's not a ritual to relieve guilt. And what that means is, man, God, I really messed up on this one. I really messed up. So therefore, I'm going to have to pray a lot. You know, I laugh at some of you about doing penance in your former life, and we laugh about that. But sometimes we think that that's the only way God will forgive us, is if we pray an awful lot. Jesus says, when you pray, do not use meaningless repetition, thinking that you will be heard for your many words. I want to share with you four foundational principles about prayer. God loves for me to talk to Him about anything. About anything. Now, we think that the best prayers are religious prayers. We throw a spiritual thing in there. We talk about something God wants to talk about. We begin to pray about things and using the phrases that we hear in church, and we use them. And it doesn't have to be a religious topic. Do you know God wants to know about what's happening with your kids when you pray? You just tell Him, God, this is what the kids are doing. Do you know He cares when you're sick? And I know a couple weeks ago when I was sick, I was just praying that it would be over, that God would let me live. It wasn't that bad, but I'll tell you what, it was miserable. You know what? God's concerned for your teenagers when your girlfriend breaks up with you. Yeah, He wants to know that too. See, God is interested in everything you're interested in. Why? God made us that way. You know, He did. He made us have interest. You know, if you're into football, God says, that's okay if we talk about football. If you're into quilting, I don't know what you pray about quilting, but, you know, I pray for my team to win, but God says, I'm not into sports. But the reason is, He loves us. God loves you. He wants to know all about you. He says, talk to me about things of importance to you. Now, if you're married, guys, if you're smart, you'll learn to be interested in some of the things your wife is interested in. And if you love her, you will. You'll do things with her. It may not be your cup of tea, but that's not the issue. The issue is, you love her, or you love him, so you have an interest in those things. You know, God is interested in talking to you. You're His child. I love talking to my kids. I'm interested in, you know, what they want to say. You know, our Heavenly Father has a deep interest in our life. Let me read from the Psalms. The Lord is like a father to His children, tender and compassionate to those who reverence Him. He says He's compassionate and tender. That's His approach to us. Let me ask you a question. When you have that little baby in your hand and you're holding them, when do you begin to love them? Only when they can talk to you? Do you only say, I don't love them until they can speak? No. You love them from the very beginning. And God says to us this morning, you may not know how to speak to me, but I still love you. You may not be good at it. You're just putting one word there. You're not putting sentences together. But God says, I love you. But He says, I want you to grow up and learn to talk to me as an adult. See, there's nothing off limits with God. Ever. I like what John writes in 1 John. We can be confident in approaching God, knowing that He listens to us whenever we ask Him for anything according to His will. And since we know that He hears us when we make our requests, then we can be sure that He will answer us. Do you know? There's nothing you can say that will offend God. Do you ever read the Psalms and David? David even says, my enemies kill them and kill their children and their grandchildren. That was his prayer to God. There's nothing offends God. There's nothing off limits. It doesn't have to be spiritual things. It's who you are, what you're dealing with in your life. That's what he says to talk to me about. It's where you live. See, what John says was, I can approach God without fear. There's nothing I'm going to say that will stop God from loving and caring for me. Nothing. I pray without fear and hesitation and embarrassment. Now, you may be embarrassed to talk to other people about something, but you can talk to God about it. There's nothing off limits. There's nothing you can say that will stop God from loving you. He says, I want you to pray. Talk to me about things you have an interest in. Now, there are spiritual things that we need to deal with. But your everyday life, talk to me about them. See, prayer is a conversation and not a ceremony. A ceremony has a certain style and things that we go through. Weddings are ceremonies. And if we don't get it right, it doesn't work. But God says, It's not a ceremony. It's a conversation. How many of you love to have conversations when the person does all the talking, as soon as they're finished, they turn and walk away? You hate those. We do them to God every day. Every day. How many of you ever stop and say, God, after you pray, do you have anything for me? Do you have anything to say to me? Is there anything you want me to know? Is there anything, direction you want me to go? Is there any influence, anything that you have to say to me? And you're just quiet. Now, quiet time kills us, guys. It really does. 30 seconds of quiet time is like an hour to us. But sometimes God says, now that you talk to me, just sit still and listen. Just be quiet. Don't say anything. Don't read my word. Just be quiet. God, is there anything you want to say to me? Prayer is a relationship, not a ritual. It's a relationship. It's talk about getting close to God. Now, don't raise your hands, but do you get bored with your prayers? We get bored sometimes. We don't want to pray. It's boring. It doesn't do anything. The reason is, we're looking at it wrong. We see it as a ritual. We see it as something we have to go through and do. If we don't do it, something's going to bad happen to us. God doesn't want you to feel guilty about talking to Him. He doesn't. Let me give you the second thing, foundation. God listens to our prayers that are simple and sincere. You know, we don't need to break out the Christianese. And sometimes we break out those phrases. I have a sister, Barbara, who is a special needs person. And Barbara was praying at lunch one day for us, and she'd been listening to a TV preacher. And she came out, and she sounded just like that TV preacher. Now, I knew that was not her, but that was the prayer she learned. Sometimes that's what it is. We have learned prayers, and we keep repeating them, and actually they're not us. God says, I want you to pray from the heart. Pray for who you are. You know, let your prayer be, you know, just, you know, from the gut. And how do you pray? I love to begin with the Father. I kind of line it up, God the Father, and this is who I am. And that's just how I pray. But it'd be okay, I think, if you said, God, it's me. I want to talk to you. I want to share something with you. It's simple. It's not complicated. But it's got to be honest. Now, many times that we see people at work, how you doing? Doing great. Doing just fine. And we, you know, when we say that, we don't want them to tell us what's wrong anyway. We're just being a nice guy. And they don't want to talk to us because they got something to do. But God says, tell me what's on your heart. Tell me how you feel. Have you ever said to God, God, I'm really unhappy the way you've answered my prayer? God, I've been praying over and over again and nothing ever happens. God, why didn't you do that? You know I've been putting a prayer time in. You know it's something important to me. You know it's important to my life. Why haven't you said yes? Are you afraid to talk to God that way? It's okay to complain in your prayers. 50 out of the 150 Psalms are called laments. They're complaints. 50 of the 150 are complaints to God about how life is not good. You ever said, God, I'm asking you for this job and you're just not opening the door? I need a relief now. I've been out of work for a while. I need you to help me out. I need you to do something. I have this need in my life that needs to be moved. Are you going to do it? See, Jesus has a lot to say about prayer. Let me read a scripture for you from the Sermon on the Mount. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received the reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. What is he saying to us? First thing he says, don't let your prayers be a show off. If you have a chance to have grace at your Thanksgiving dinner, it's not the time to share a invitation with the people that don't know Jesus. And you don't have to bring out your greatest religious Christianese phrases and put them there. Now listen, some guys can really pray. I mean, they're just good at it. It's something about their voice and how they phrase it. But he says, if that's your reason for praying, don't do it. He said, be sincere. Talk to God like your heart feels. Not like you think God wants you to say, but how you really feel. You got to have a sure faith. Hebrews says, let us come near God with a sincere heart and a sure faith. Two things, simplicity. Talk to God like you talk. Just use your voice, your words, your phrases, and how you approach God. And come with sure faith. And what that means is, when you ask God, it's okay to ask for a miracle. Come to God with great confidence. See, God can do a miracle if He wants. God can do anything He wants to. You've got to believe that God can change it. If you don't believe God can do it, save your breath. Save your breath. Many times when I go into homes with people who have hospice, for my parents and my mother-in-law, I know that God can instantly grant what I wanted. I prayed for the longest time that God would give my father 2 years to live because I wanted him to see my daughter graduate and see her life. He didn't. Didn't mean God couldn't. He said, I'm going to allow nature to take its course. But when you pray, you got to believe that God can do it. And He can. He loves to listen to us. Be simple and pray with great confidence. The third thing is, He likes to show His grace by answering our prayers. He's a great God. He's a good Father. He's a gracious and compassionate. God loves to answer your prayers because He loves to show us how good He is. Don't you love giving your kids what they ask for? Doesn't it make you feel good? It's something really important in their life and you want to give it to them and you give it to them. Don't you feel good? I even feel good at this age with adult children giving something good to them. We want to. God wants to as well. But you know what God said about us? It's kind of shocking. He said, you don't ask. Over 20 times in the New Testament, this phrase is used, or something similar. And it shall be given, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open. He says, I want to give you things that makes you happy. But you never ask me. You never ask me. How would it be if you had a child that had a great need in their life and they never asked you for it? Wouldn't it hurt you, your feelings? To find out that they had a need and they never asked you and you could have met that need and it would have been gracious? It would have. When I pray for my children, sometimes I pray, God, give them the desires of their heart. Not their needs, but the desires of their heart. That's that extra stuff, isn't it? God says, ask. I've talked to Kevin, I've had this conversation. And sometimes in churches, things we want, if we don't ask God for them, it's our fault. It's our fault. God says, if you will ask, I want to show you how great I am as a God. Does God give us everything we want? No, He doesn't. And there are some reasons for it. When we pray, there are really four things that happens. God will say yes. God will say no. God will say wait. And God will say, I can't believe you're asking for that. Not really. He'll say, you got to grow up first. Let me share something with you. Sometimes it's just a simple yes. God just gives it to you. I love those prayers, don't you? I love those answers. God, it just happens. Sometimes God says no. Now, why would God say no? Sometimes the things we ask for would destroy us. We can't handle them. They're just not good for us. We wouldn't be in the position to handle them. Sometimes he says no to get our direction changed. And sometimes he says no for our protection, our inspection. If you give your child everything that they wanted, they'd be a miserable children. They really would. John Rosemond came to Macon, and he's a psychologist out of North Carolina. I think he's in the Sunday paper every Sunday. I just love his philosophy. And we went to listen to him about 20 years ago at the medical center. It was packed out. And he was talking about gifts. And he asked people in my generation, he's about my age or a little bit younger. He says, when I was growing up, by the time I was five, I'd only have five or seven toys. He said the average kid 20 years ago had over 250 some toys by the time they were age five. He said there's something wrong with that. There's something wrong with that. God simply says, some things you want, I can't give you because they would be very bad for you. He's not a vending machine. You just don't plug the prayer in. Because vending machines gives us things that we don't need and be harmful for us. Sometimes he says, I want you to wait. You're not ready for it. He says, I'm going to give you that car or that whatever you're asking for. I'm going to make it, give it to you, but now's not the time. I've got something so much greater in store for you than what you want. You're selling yourself down here, and I want you up here. Sometimes we just wait. Now, waiting is a maturity thing. A two-year-old between no and wait, it's no to them. They don't understand the wait part. And sometimes that's where God says, I want you to grow. Jeremiah said this from the Message. God, call to me and I will answer you. I will show you marvelous and wonderful things that could never be figured out on your own. Sometimes he says, Ron, you got to grow. If I give it to you today, you couldn't handle it. If I answered the prayer that all of you have, it'd be impossible for you to have it. In fact, it may discourage you or destroy you. The mother of James and John came to Jesus one day and she wanted to get her sons really important positions in the new kingdom. She didn't understand it. She says, can they sit on the right-hand throne of the king? And Jesus said to them, you don't know what you're asking for. You don't know what you're praying for your sons. You don't have a clue. Because they won't want what that's going to cost. And sometimes you look back and say, oh, I'm so glad that prayer was not answered. Garth Brooks, thank God for unanswered prayers. Now, here's the last thing about prayer. God wants to be close to me. He longs to be close to me. Now, for our high school kids, if you're dating, you can't wait to talk to the person that you're dating. In fact, you just can't wait to talk. You not talk about hours about absolutely nothing of value. But it doesn't matter. You love to talk to them. Do you know God says, I love to talk to you. I want to talk to you. I want to just listen to what you've got to say. I want to be close to you. Isaiah said, the Lord waits for you to come to Him so He can show you His love and compassion. How would it be if you went every day without speaking to someone you love? There are some parents who have children that they've never heard talk for emotional reason or a brain injury, or for some reason they don't have the language. It just destroys and breaks their heart. The person, the kid that they love, can't communicate. It is so hard for them. And then we have parents who you have children who have closed the door on you. They don't communicate with you. They don't take your phone calls. They don't respond to you. They don't speak to you. Parents, our hearts are broken when our children don't respond to you. Our hearts ache. Do you think maybe God feels the same way? He says, you're my child and I never hear you. God says, I want to be close to you. You remember Enoch, the one who never saw death? He was close to God. and Noah and Job and Hezekiah was the greatest king to that point had ever lived. All were close to God. Let me read a verse from Hosea. And this is God speaking to us. I don't want your sacrifices. I want your love. I don't want your offerings. I want you to know me. Now, if I'd put it down so that you and I could understand it, I think I'd say this. God says, if this is a ritual to you and this is all it means, I don't want it. Don't want it. I was down at the gym the other day talking to a person. You know, I'd seen him a couple of times. We were talking and somebody came around and, you know, I told him what I did. And he said, well, I got a question to ask you. And he said, you know, I asked my dad, he says, many years ago, I says, why do we go to church? My dad says, it's just the thing we do. Just the thing we do. It was a ritual, wasn't it? It was just the thing we do. God says, I want you to love me. I want you to love me. And I want you to love me back. I want a relationship with you. Jesus said something amazing to his disciples in John 15. I don't call you servants, I call you my friends. God says, I want you to be my friend. But how do you do that? You got to desire, and you got to take time for it. You got to desire that relationship. You're a friend with God. Now, one of the things that people like to do is if you have a friend who is CEO or somebody, you know, that's known worldwide or a great athlete, you just like to tell people, that's my friend. He's my friend. But God says, I'm your friend. I count you as my friend. And I'm the creator. That is what I have for you. James says, draw close to God and God will draw close to you. Of all the benefits, there are many of being a friend of God. It's this. The closer I am to God, the less stressed and the blessed I'll be. In 1911, Clara Brooks wrote a song called Draw Close to Thee. And the refrain goes like this. Draw me close to Thee, draw me close to Thee. Keep me, dear Savior, so near Thy side. Draw me close to Thee. That should be our prayer this morning. Will you stand with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You for Your goodness to us. And Father, I thank You that You love us and You care for us and You want to know us. And You count us as Your children, as Your friend. And Father, I ask that You help each one of us to talk to You often. Tell You what's important. And Father, most of all, may we listen to what You have to say. Thank You, Father, for letting us come to You. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. This morning, I give you an opportunity to take that next step in your life. If you're not a member, we invite you to. If you've never accepted Christ, you know, today's a great day. And if you're afraid to come down front, I'll meet you in the back. And we can, you know, God will be pleased there too. But maybe as Christians, we just need to look at our prayer life and say, God, how am I speaking to You? I need to speak to You like a father. I need to speak to You like I talk. But most of all, God, I want to listen to what You have to say. Kevin.
My Jesus, I love.